Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Here's a special invitation to all our radio listeners, especially those who do not already have a church home. The congregation of Kansas City Christian Faith Center invites you to come to our Sunday, December 30th church service at 2 p.m. We are located at 1721 North 9th Street on the corner of 9th and Walker Avenue. Come and be blessed with the Word of God by Pastor McIntosh. And if you have need of a winter coat, to receive a new coat from us with much love. The first 20 first-time visitors present, which includes 5 men, 5 women, 5 boys, and 5 girls, will be given a coupon to receive their coat at the end of our service. We trust you will be blessed spiritually, materially, and consider becoming a new member of our growing church. If you have any questions regarding this special giveaway, please call us at 816-446-7615 or contact us by way of our website at kccfc.net. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year! Now let's continue with our teaching entitled, Redeemed in Jesus, What Does It Mean to Be Redeemed? Last week we began redemption benefit number 5 under part 3 of this teaching, which is redemption under the New Testament. And we will continue with this benefit today. As I have stated each week, this teaching on redemption consists of 3 parts, which includes part 1, God's original intent for mankind, Part 2, Atonement under the Old Testament, both of which we have completed several weeks ago. Now we are covering Part 3, Redemption under the New Testament. Each part of this teaching is necessary to understand and appreciate Jesus' redemptive work and our better position in Him as sons of God. Therefore, if you have missed any of the weekly teachings, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the previous episodes now archived under our radio broadcast page. You may also give us your comments and/or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome all of them. Today, we will continue with redemption benefit number 5 under part 3 of our teaching. So let's reread Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I will be quoting from the New King James Bible unless otherwise stated. Redemption benefit number 5. Our eternal salvation is by grace and not of works. We know that under the Old Testament, the people were required to continually sacrifice blood offerings in order to satisfy the law. These acts of obedience by the people of Israel were works that were performed to stay in good standing with God. However, these ceremonial acts were only temporary and had to be offered over and over again as the law required. Obedience to these sacred rituals afforded the people a temporary covering of protection and provisions. Let's read Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him, referring to Jesus, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Amen. All right, I want to give a few explanations on a couple of the scriptures with regards to the words used, because I do want each listener to understand the importance of the gift of salvation and the awesome work that Jesus completed on behalf of each and every one of us. So in verse number 4, it says, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." This is completely contrary to the gift of salvation under Jesus the Christ. Salvation is given freely by the grace of God. So there is no works that we need to complete, but rather to receive the gift of salvation by faith so that we can receive all of the benefits that Jesus completed by his life, death, and resurrection. Verse number 5 says, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him, Jesus, who justifies," I want to clarify the word justifies. The word justifies under Jesus the Christ means declared righteous, "who justifies the ungodly," that's the sinner, "his faith is accounted for righteousness." And the word righteousness means right standing before God. So as a result of receiving the gift of salvation, Jesus has declared us righteous and having right standing before our Heavenly Father. Amen. Let's read some supporting scriptures for this passage, which will give us more understanding of this truth. So in Romans 4:3, I'm going to reread that verse one more time, and then I have two scriptures that I want us to turn to that will give us clarity of this one statement. It says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." Let's turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds or works of the law, no flesh will be justified or declared righteous in his or God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." I'm going to put a little pin there because I want to explain the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, the law was only given to Israel to show them what was right before God and what was wrong. This law is no longer in effect because Jesus completed the law on our behalf. So basically, the law given to Israel was a tutor or teacher to show them what to do and what not to do. But under the gift of salvation, Jesus completed that work. He paid the cost for every sin, past, present, and future. So there is no more works to do, but rather to receive the gift of salvation and accept by faith all that Jesus has completed. In other words, declared us righteous, given us right standing before our Heavenly Father, and given us victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. All right, let's go to James chapter 2. Let's read verses 21 through 23. James 2, 21 through 23 says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect?" Verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he, Abraham, was called the friend of God." I want to point out a couple of things in this scripture for clarity. Let's start with verse number 21. It says, "Was not Abraham our father justified?" Again, that word justified means declared righteous by works. And by works, we're talking about keeping the law. That's what Abraham had to do. He had to keep the law that was given under the old covenant in order to be justified or declared righteous when he offered Isaac his son on the altar. All right. Then in verse number 22, let me go ahead and read into it one more time so you can see the information that I want to expound on. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, that's Abraham's works, and by the works, faith. Now, I'm going to put a pin here. By faith, they're referring to faith in God's promise, was made perfect or complete. That's a question. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or credited to him for righteousness. And he, Abraham, was called the friend of God. So we can see from, not just from scriptures that we read under the book of Leviticus, but we see from the event recorded regarding Abraham, that he too had to complete the law in order to receive or get credit for being righteous. All right, here's another scripture in the original passage, verse number 4. I'm going to read it. Verse number 5. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go to Romans 11:6. Verse 5 says, but to him who does not work but believes on him, Jesus, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 6. Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. So again, this is just in clarification of the Old Testament versus the New Testament. Under the Old Testament, the saints had to work, and it was accounted to him, the righteousness was accounted to them as a result of their works. But under the New Testament, we are under the covenant of grace, and we don't have to complete works. Now, we should operate in holiness, but salvation is based on one man, and that is Jesus the Christ and the work that he completed on our behalf. Our obligation is, or privilege, however you want to see it, but it truly is a privilege. We receive the gift that has already been provided for through Jesus the Christ. And as a result of receiving that gift, the gift of salvation, we are declared righteous. We are declared with right standing before the Heavenly Father. One more scripture with regards to that, and we're moving on. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified or declared righteous before God by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Once again, the Heavenly Father is giving us some information that is vitally important. The saints of old did works, but under the New Testament, we have been declared righteous, having right standing before the Heavenly Father, and we are justified, not by the law, but by Jesus the Christ. Jesus satisfied the law and provided once and for all eternal redemption. Salvation through Jesus is not of man's works that man should boast, but the gift of salvation is given to us by grace, the unmerited favor of God. Jesus loved us so much that he paid the cost so that we could be declared righteous and delivered from eternal condemnation. Christians did not earn righteousness. We received it through the gift of salvation in Jesus. And as a result, in Jesus, we have right standing before God. All our sin is washed away with the blood of Jesus, and in him, we have eternal life. Now, I do want to read Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 28, because I want you to see it from the Word of God. How precious, how eternal, how awesome the gift of salvation is. There shouldn't be any man, woman, or child who would want to reject the gift of salvation if they only knew how wonderful it is and that it is freely given, no strings attached. It is a love that is unmerited and it is freely given by our Heavenly Father. Hebrews chapter 9, starting with verse 24, it says, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another or animals. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." Last verse, verse 28. "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Praise the name of Jesus." All right, so again, this passage is letting us know that the Old Testament is done away with, it's been completed, and Jesus' redemptive work now stands more perfect, more better for those under the New Testament. And we should shout about that, family, because there's nothing that we have to keep in terms of the law, but rather that we should operate in the awesomeness of our Savior and Lord. So I do want to give you additional scriptures that would add to our understanding on this passage as well. So Hebrews 9:24, I have two scriptures that I want to read. I'm going to read verse 24 once again, and then we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verses 33 through 34. Verse 24 says, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." And just as a reminder, as we read in the book of Leviticus, there was a time when only the high priest could enter into the holies of holies, and it was a man representing the nation of Israel, and it was just that group of people who had the responsibility to represent mankind. But Jesus came and he completed that work, and now he sits at the right hand of God interceding on our behalf. Let's go to Romans 8:33 and 34. 33 says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Amen. So family, our past, present, and future sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ forevermore. And we need to shout and sing about that, because that is an awesome thing. All right, let's turn to Hebrews 8:2. Hebrews 8:2. It says, "For the law of the recreated spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." My goodness, what a blessing that is for us New Testament Christians, that we have been set free from the law of sin and death. So we can say no to sin, and we definitely have a say as to when we leave this earth realm. But it's on us, family, to find out the benefits that God has provided for us through Jesus Christ and then apply them to our individual lives. All right. I want to read one scripture for Hebrews 9:27. I'm going to read the verse 27, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read 9 and 10. It says, "As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. All right. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10 say, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So family, we don't have to be fearful of the day that we leave this earth realm and enter into eternal life. Because those of us who have received Jesus as Savior and Lord, we don't come to the judgment seat of the Heavenly Father. But we come before our Christ, our Savior and our Lord, and we get what I like to call a performance appraisal. How well did you complete the work or assignments that God gave us in this earth realm? Our name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, so we know we have eternal life in Jesus. But now what's going to happen is he's going to check out the work that we completed and make sure that we did everything we needed to do before we left this earth realm. So as Christians, that's our job, is to make sure that the assignments that God has given us in this earth realm are completed with excellence, with love and compassion, that we drew people to Christ and not pushed them away. So that's our job. And we can do it, family, because we got Jesus in us, and he is greater than anyone or anything in this earth realm, in the heavens or the earth. So let's continue to do what we are called to do, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with love and compassion, decently and in order. All right. Hebrews 9, verse 28. I'm going to reread it. And then I have two passages that I want us to examine again to help us better understand that passage that we read under Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 28 says, so Christ has offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. We know that there's a second coming. We know that their time will come when Jesus will return and come for his church. We are going to be lifted up in the clouds and meet him in the air. And when he does, we're going to be able to rejoice and give glad tidings to our Savior and our Lord. But until then, we have work to do, family. We got work to do within our own families and with the community, with our country, with this world. So let's not be slothful, but let's imitate him, Jesus the Christ, who did so much for us so that we can have so much in our Heavenly Father. All right, Matthew 26, 28. Jesus is speaking, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission or forgiveness of sins. That's why Jesus shed his blood, so that we didn't have to pay the cost for our sins. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. We're going to read verses 13 and 14. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he, Jesus, might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Amen. Let me read that scripture one more time because it is so very important. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming, family. There is a second coming, and there will be a reckoning. So you just make sure that you have your name written in the Lamb Book of Life so that you don't have to be fearful of that day. But you can rejoice with the rest of the saints that his coming will be a blessed time with him. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he, Jesus, might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's what we should be, family. We should want to do good works so we can be a blessing and not a curse. Notice that the scripture says might redeem us. I want to point out the reason why it uses the word might, because we have a choice. And we can choose not to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord over our lives. But for those who do choose Jesus' salvation gift, we are redeemed in him. Amen and amen. So there is much to shout about, family, much to be thankful for. This is the closing of redemption benefit number 5. But next week when we return, I do want to continue with redeemed in Jesus. What does it mean to be redeemed? And I am going to be summarizing all 3 parts so that you can see for yourself the work that God started, the work of the saints of old under the Old Testament, and then finally, the redemptive work that Jesus completed. I know that is truly the most important part of this teaching, but it's also important for us as Christians to know how this all came about so that when we come together and we share the good news of Jesus Christ, we can answer questions such as, well, why do I need Jesus? And you will have a better understanding of why we need Jesus the Christ. All right, family, I will see you, or actually you will hear from me next Wednesday as we continue with Redeemed in Jesus, What Does It Mean to Be Redeemed?
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.